Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Jungle Show here on Auburn Daily. Cannot wait to get back and going here in basketball season. We are excited here at the Jungle Show. My name is Gray Oldenburg, along with my co-host, my dad, Chris Oldenburg. Here today, we're here today to talk some Auburn basketball. We are finally back, obviously, football season in full swing for Hugh Freeze's first year in the Auburn Tigers, and a lot of that is being covered on auburndaily.com. You can check that out there. But we are always here to talk Auburn basketball here on the Jungle Show. We are back from a very long time ago. I believe our last episode was a long time ago. We were talking about some of the transfers that we got in and upcoming this year. We'll get to that again here in a little bit. But just some housekeeping things before we get started. Talking about the podcast schedule, we are going to try and do a podcast reviewing every single Auburn basketball game this upcoming year. This show, we will talk a little bit about the personnel, some of the returning guys, the one lone freshman five-star, and then the transfers incoming. And then we'll talk a little bit about the schedule. We'll have another episode when we get closer to time, obviously. The season doesn't kick off officially until November 7th, I believe. So when we get closer to time, when we know more from practice and lineups, that sort of thing, we'll do another show to preview that that Baylor game after the exhibition game. But we wanted to get this one out here as kind of a season preview. Sure, we're excited about basketball and go ahead and get this thing rolling. But I'll throw it to my dad and co-host real quick. Let me throw a question out there for you. How excited, knowing that this is, you know, Hugh Freeze's first year at Auburn in his football season, you know, everything's going great for Hugh Freeze right now. I would say his first year, you know, struggle against A&M. We talk about recruiting or whatever. But Bruce Pearl is back as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers, of course, after a very interesting year last year, some really high highs, some really low lows for the Auburn Tigers last year. Ended up losing in the second round of the tournament to the Houston Cougars, the one seed. What is your reaction and how excited are you for this upcoming season?
Look, I think that I think Auburn's got a good foundation set for this year. I think last year was a success. Some people would say that it wasn't as successful because we didn't win as many games in the tournament. But anytime you go and you win an NCAA tournament game against a very good Iowa team, and really you had the number one team in the tournament down and beat if you played well in the second half. So I thought last year was a good year. I think this year there's a lot of really good teams in the SEC, mm-hmm. and Bruce has scheduled quite a preseason schedule, mm-hmm. for them. So it's not like we get some cupcakes to warm up.
Yeah, you're right. We're going to get into the schedule here just a little bit because we got a heck of a non-conference schedule that Bruce Pearl has really set up for this upcoming season, and then you get into a gauntlet in the SEC this year. I mean, it just seems like every single year that as good as Auburn has been over the past few years in basketball and how successful they've been in the SEC, it's just like every year the conference as a whole just gets better and better and better because they can. And this year, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in our next episode, closer to when season starts, either later in October or early November. There's six or seven, maybe even eight teams that could win this SEC conference this year. There's not a clear-cut favorite. I think there are teams that are ahead of one another. I think there are two or three tiers in this league. And I think in tier one, you've got about seven or eight teams. And Auburn is in there. I think they're solidly in there. I think they've been in there for at least the past six or seven years under Coach Bruce Pearl. I think it's really an exciting time for Auburn basketball, just like the past 7 years have been. And I think this team has a chance to be very good. But, man, do they have to go through some really, really good basketball teams at a really, really good conference this year. I mean, you're talking about Kentucky. They're always going to be good. They brought in a whole new recruiting class, just like always. Tennessee returns a lot and also brings in a lot. They're going to be very good. Alabama coming off the unbelievable year that they had last year. They're bringing a lot as well. You're talking about Arkansas bringing back a lot as well. Yeah. I know they had a lot of guys go to the draft, but they're bringing back a lot. Talking about Texas A&M is bringing back one of the most productive teams they've had in decades, and they're basically bringing back the whole team. Then you talk about Florida and Mississippi State. Tolu Smith is coming back from Mississippi State. You got Georgia on the upcoming rise with head coach Mike White. You got LSU under former Murray State head coach. I believe – I forget his first name. It's McMillan. I forget his first name. But, I mean, this is an unbelievable jam-packed league. And then in a year from now, you'll have Texas and Oklahoma who aren't slouches either. So this SEC is just getting better and better and better. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time, but it's also like, ooh, here we go.
You also left out the team in Oxford, Mississippi, who now has one of our best players from last year on their team with them, a new head coach who's a really good head coach, an assistant head coach who's a really good assistant head coach because he was with us last year.
Yeah.
So I agree. There is a lot of parity in this league, and I think you could end up anywhere from 4 to 8 and feel like you had a really good year.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So let's just jump right in and talk about the personnel. Who is on this Auburn basketball team? Who are they? Let's talk a little bit about them, talk a little bit about each player, each position. We're going to get into more lineup predictions in the next episode here in the coming weeks. Obviously, as we get closer to the season, we'll understand more. We'll hear more from practice. We'll know more, obviously, that sort of thing. So let's just talk about it. So let's talk about the returning players first. Then we'll talk about the lone freshmen. Then we'll talk about the transfers, the guys who are coming in, trying to make an immediate impact on this team this year. But talking about the transfer or the returning players first, we got Trey Donaldson at point guard, KD Johnson coming back as well, Chris Moore, Leor Berman, Jalen Williams, Janai Broom, and Dylan Cardwell. I think that is a very, very good returning group for an experienced SEC team like this. In the SEC like there is today, Auburn is returning a lot and a lot of production as well. You bring back your backup point guard, Trey Donaldson, who really came along at the end of last year, played really well against Iowa. I know he had 11 points and 3 threes in that game. KD Johnson, who obviously had an unbelievable season when he was playing with Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, struggled towards the beginning of last year and just got better and better and better as the season went on. Mm-hmm. He played his best basketball towards the end of the year. That's exactly what we need as a guy returning and coming back. Then you bring back both your forwards and Chris Moore and Leor Berman. Both of those guys ended up backing up Alan Flanagan, who you just mentioned is now an Ole Miss. But you bring back both of those guys. Both of those guys are seniors. I think both of these guys are going to be depth guys and guys you can plug in and play unbelievable defense in terms of Chris Moore. And then Leor Berman, if you need a bucket three, there you go. I mean, you got one right there. If you want to get two or three, you got that right there. But experienced guys at this level, guys that know what they're doing. Then you bring back your fifth-year stud and Jalen Williams. You know, we call him the Swiss Army knife on the show for a reason. He really can do everything. He's put on a lot of muscle this offseason. I'm excited to see that. He's a guy that averaged 11 points last year. He's going to be the glue of this team, and he has been the glue of the team, I think, the past 2 years, to be honest with you. This is a very exciting year for Jalen Williams. This is your money getter year. This is the year to decide if you want to go play pro, whether that's NBA, G League, overseas. This is the year to prove that you can do that. Now, Auburn fans know that he can because we've seen what he can do. Can shoot well from the outside, handles the ball very well, underrated defender as well, very quick and light on his feet, great hands, can finish on the inside as well as anybody. That little hook shot he can do and finishing over the top of people. A great rebounder. Can't wait to see what we see out of Jalen Williams. And then you bring back your two centers from last year, your starting center and your backup center, Dylan Cardwell coming back. Talk about him first. He's a senior. He's a guy that's been in this program for a long time. He's gotten better and better. Unbelievable rim protector, great rebounder, pure energy guy. He's a guy that, you know, everybody loves Dylan Cardwell, especially in football season. Because we see him on the Jumbotron all the time. But everybody loves Dylan. And then you bring back a guy in Janai Broom, who averaged I believe he averaged 14-8 last year with just over 2.5 blocks. He is a guy that, again, completely changes the outcome of this team if he decides to go pro, which he was invited to the G League Combine, was scoring 30 points and 15 rebounds in those games, just did not belong there. He was one of the six guys that was invited from that G League Combine to the NBA Combine this past offseason and even had success in those games, playing against guys that are now going to be playing in the NBA this upcoming season. And he decides to come back. He decides to come back and work on maybe his outside game, obviously his free throw shooting, continue to get better on the inside. I think Jahni Broome has a chance to be not only one of the best centers in the SEC, I think he is the best center in the SEC, but one of the best centers in the entire country, competing with guys like Zach Edey, Armando Bacot, and those guys. I think Jahni Broome is right up there with them.
So a couple quick things. Let me start at the center position, and I'll go backwards since you started point guard and worked your way down. Let me go backwards.
Okay.
Dylan Carwell, great to have him back. If he can develop a little hook shot, play with and learn some moves with his back to the basket, it would really help him. You're right. He's an energy guy. With him and KD Johnson on the floor at the same time, there's enough energy in that arena to power the city. Love watching him play. Just pure hustle, all-out effort. He's going to get 4 or 5 fouls a game. It's just what he does. And that's what he's there for, and he knows his role. Jahni, when you and I talked when he was in the G League Combine and had a game, literally he had 30-15 in the G League Combine game, and they invited him up to the big NBA Combine, and I think you and I were sitting there watching TV or something, and we both went, oh no.
He's gone.
If he's gone, that leaves a gaping hole in our team, because he's the best player probably on the team right now. Jahni can do everything. And if he's in that Iowa game, I think he had 2 or 3 threes himself. He started getting that shot to go down. If he gets that shot to go down, he's almost impossible to guard. He doesn't have a back-to-the-basket type of game, but he's got a face-up, down-low, big man, block shots, rebound. So I'm really happy he came back. Jalen Williams, you and I saw him at what's the restaurant we were at? Yeah. Saw him that night sitting there, and I was like, man, he looks bigger than I thought he would in person. And then I read that he's added 15 pounds of muscle. And so I was like, well, yeah, he's a lot bigger than I thought he was in person. Chris Moore and Lior, I'm glad Lior's back. Chris Moore has been playing out of position a little bit. He played center in high school. So playing on the wing, he's, like you said, he's a backup piece. He's a real good defender, a lot of effort. By the way, he can jump out of the gym. So he's fun to deal with. Then you've got KD Johnson at the two. I was hoping that you would mention he started off really bad from three last year, like really bad. And I think a lot of that was his wrist was hurt. Against, I believe, Georgia the year before, at the end of the year. And it never seemed to get right until about right before tournament time, really. And he started getting hot from three. He was fantastic against Iowa from three. He made some shots against Houston. So getting him with confidence in that shot where he can – he's going to get open looks, because we now have point guards that can get by people. And get it out to him. So he's going to get open looks. At my concern with this team right now is the point guard. Not that we don't have special athletes and special talent. Trey Donaldson looked great against Iowa and against Houston. Like, we were at the Iowa game, and it was like, what the heck is he? Holy cow, he's making everything he looks at. if that Trey Donaldson comes back, that's great. He's got to get even better on defense. He's very physical. Played safety, could be playing safety for Auburn right now. Yeah. So he's got the ability to play that, to play that big guard, that big point guard role, because he's 6'3". My only concern is that we lost the experience that Wendell brought. And we've got him and the guy we're going to talk about here in a minute, so who are both, they're fantastic players. And look, 13 years ago, before Bruce Pearl got here, if Aiden Holloway was on the team, I'd have been like, my gosh, he's the best player I've seen at Auburn in years. So I just am a little concerned about the point guard, especially early in the year against teams like Baylor and Notre Dame. So
that's my take on it. We are going to talk about the schedule here in a little bit, especially that early schedule. And just like we were talking about in the opener, Bruce did not go light on this early non-conference schedule whatsoever. And these guards, especially just like you were mentioning, these inexperienced guards, because yes, Trey played last year, but he played behind Wendell a lot and did not see a lot of real action in long periods of time, like longer stretches. He was more of spot minutes and would come in, and I believe he was pretty good. But this is going to be a huge test.
Yeah. Last year it was Wynn and Zepp at 1 and 2. And then they could bring KD in and move Zepp to 1 and take Wynn out. Then bring Wynn back in and move Zepp to 2. And so Trey didn't get, like you said, he didn't get the business minutes.
Yeah.
He didn't get the amount of minutes that you would hope for in a guy that's coming back. And please hear me say this. I think Trey is a fantastic player and has all the skill set in the world to do what we need him to do. We just haven't – he hadn't had a chance to show it in big minutes. Not that he hadn't played, but we had 3 guys that could play the point last year.
Yeah.
And so rotating him in was hard.
And I think another point, to your point, is not Trey can't do it. That's not what you're saying. That's not what we're saying. It's more like Trey's not going to have 6 straight games where he can figure it out, run the offense, kind of, lollygag around, get some shots up, get to the basket a little bit. He's going to get the exhibition game against AUM. And then he's thrown into the fire. And it's not just Trey, it's Aiden too. We're going to talk about him in just a second. But they're going to be thrown into the fire against one of the best defensive college basketball teams this past decade in Baylor, not in Neville Arena, not in Baylor either, in South Dakota. So, and we're going to talk about that in a second, because that's
weird.
That's one thing and another. But he's being thrown into the fire. And then you come home and you do get one of those games against Southeast Louisiana, who is not a slouch, but you get one of those games where you can figure some things out, look at film, that sort of stuff, especially if you get beat against Baylor or if you come away with a win against Baylor. That Southeast Louisiana game is going to be very important because that's a home game. Then you go to the Barclays Center, play the Legends Classic, where you're playing Notre Dame. And then the next day, you're either going to get Oklahoma State or St. Bonaventure. Both of those teams are tournament teams. Notre Dame's been one of the better teams over the past decade as well.
Playing in the ACC, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we cannot lollygag around, especially early. Okay. So it is going to be a major test, especially for the guards. And I'm not just throwing Trey and Aiden in that. You got to put KD in that, even though he does have experience with that. And you got to throw Denver Jones, we'll talk about it as well. Coming out of FIU, the transfer, he hasn't seen a lot of action like he's going to see against Baylor and Notre Dame and, Oklahoma State or St. Bonaventure, that sort of stuff.
I think the tournament run last year really was beneficial for Trey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Playing a team like Iowa, who's going to defend you and having success in a, on a big stage against a team like Iowa and then playing a team like Houston who had two guards that were up in your jersey the entire game. Yeah. And having some success against those will help him be where he needs to be better than had he not had that.
I don't want
to build expectations on these point guards as being, hey, it's all right that Wynn left because we got two guys here. Wynn was a good player. Wynn did a lot for this team. So having these two guys, they're new to the to it. Really, I mean, really kind of new to it.
Yeah.
So you don't want to load all these expectations on the point guard position when it may struggle for a few games.
Yeah, so, and I think this is the last point we'll make about that. We'll continue to talk about we'll talk about some of the new guys we got on this team. But last point I want to make about that is the perfect thing for these point guards, like Trey, like Aiden, and even the other guards like Denver and KD, who we'll see play action. The most important thing in those early games against Baylor, especially away from home and in the Barclays Center, the Legends Classic that we'll play in November, some of the most important things is going to be finding ways to get the scorers the ball. And guess who the two scorers are going to end up being in those early games? It's going to be Janai and Jalen. And that's the best thing that they can do for those point guards is if Janai and Jalen have good games, that's the best thing for those point
guards.
Take a lot of weight off of them, especially because you will see backcourt pressure when you play Baylor. You will see backcourt pressure when you play Notre Dame. You will see backcourt pressure in either St. Bonaventure or Oklahoma State. And sure. That's gonna be tough. And if you are able to alleviate some of that pressure with, you know, dominant big man presence like Janai and Dylan and Jalen and even outside scoring from Denver and Aiden and Trey, that spreads the defense out, that gets them confused and makes us non-one-dimensional, like we're able to do multiple things. That's the best thing you can do for those guards to get in that rhythm, especially early.
Let's
talk about Aiden Holloway, because this dude has a chance to be as much as we were talking about him, how we're a little scared getting into the action just then, this is a dude that I think you can throw into the action as your starting point guard, as your guy who's going to lead out this team and going to run this offense, especially early, and be completely fine. Because here's my reasoning. Aiden Holloway is a scoring first point guard.
Yes.
And that is something that is pretty vital nowadays, because yes, as much as we're going to need to throw Janai the ball in the post, as much as we're going to need to get Jalen the ball wherever, or Denver, or whether it's Chad Baker-Mazzara or Leor in the corners and that sort of thing, or KD, Aiden's going to score. And he's going to have to score. And he's the best point guard. I think he's one of the best point guards to come out of high school this past cycle and into college basketball this year because of what he does in the offensive end. His defense, a lot of people are a little scared because he is an undersized guy. He's not a very thick guy. He is quick on his feet. He is really good with his hands. So he can be pretty good on the defensive end, but he is going to provide something special offensively, especially from three. And that is huge. Absolutely huge nowadays when you have a threat like that on the three-point line, especially bringing the ball up the court. It changes your entire offense. It's going to provide, we're going to talk about this pretty much all season. The spacing compared to this past year's team to this year's team, I think is going to be monumentally different, and that's going to help out Janai and Jalen and Dylan so much. And it's going to change the game.
So Aiden is the – So he's the second rated recruit we've ever had, correct? Behind Jabari. He's ahead of Sharif. I would compare him to Sharif because of the ball handling skills.
Yeah.
He has the ability, maybe not quite as refined as Sharif's ball handling skills. But when I tell you this, he is three times the shooter that Sharif was when he came to Auburn.
For sure.
Aiden is a sharp shooter.
Yeah.
He is a three-point specialist. And you're right. He's a score-first point guard who has the handles to get around people. He's quick enough to get around people, get into the lane, and cause havoc. If our guys can shoot threes, him included, KD, Denver, whoever, if we've got guys that can shoot threes, and you're right, spread that court out. Because last year, all Texas A&M did was play a 2-3 zone and tell their guys, don't leave the lane. Don't get out of the square.
Yeah.
Let them shoot. And that's how I would have guarded us. I'd never have played that team man-to-man.
No.
You've got to threaten them. And I know Bruce Pearl came out and said that they had a scrimmage last weekend and the team shot over 50% from three, which he was excited about. But it's just like when you have a football inter-squad scrimmage. If you shoot 50% from three, are you guarding anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, they got a hand in their face? That's my fear with Aiden right now, and you mentioned it, is the defensive end. Look, he's played in big games. He's played at the United Center in the McDonald's All-American game. He's played in big games in high school. So I don't think the size of the game will be like just overwhelming to him. My fear is, it's why I think Trey is probably your starter early on until Bruce can get Aiden ready for the defense. Because Bruce is like, if you can't play defense, you can't play on my team. So he's got to be able to defend. And he may be able to. Like you said, he's got the quickness. He's got the quick twitch. He's got the hands. So he may be a better defender than I know. I just haven't seen it. And they don't the McDonald's All-American game, they don't play defense.
No, I think some of the concerns of the defense is strictly based on his size and stature because of the size of the guards that he is going to face, especially early and very much so when he gets to the SEC play. But I think by then he would have figured some things out. I think nerves are a thing, especially for a guy of that high caliber. But yeah, you just mentioned that you think because of Trey's size and maybe defensive ability that you think he's going to start over Aiden Holloway. I don't see that. I don't see where Trey's defensive aspect outdoes Aiden's. Like we were mentioning, sharp shooting ability, unbelievable ball handling. He's got the ball on a string. He's a wizard with it. And we saw that not just in the McDonald's All-American game, but I've seen that his whole senior year of high school. Go look at his tape. Go look at his film. He has that thing on a rope, and he can put it wherever he wants to, even when he's shooting. Like, I'm going to put it in the basket here from 40 feet, and he does it. And he's got the range. He provides – I think he provides something that we haven't seen at Auburn since Jared Arbor. Because, and you mentioned it, Wendell – Wendell could get by people, but he could not get by people like Jared Harper used to where he – I mean
– Sharif Cooper used to.
And then either finish over him or dump it out to Bryce Brown or Chima Okeke or somebody like that, Malik Dunbar or somebody like that. Aiden has that. Aiden has that ability to get by people. Any guard in the SEC, he can get by, and he can finish at the rim, and he has shooters now. And we're going to talk about the three transfers, but two of them are sharpshooters. Denver Jones is a sharpshooter. Chad Baker-Mazar is a sharpshooter. You still got Leor. If KD's shooting the ball like he did towards the end of the year, yeah. I think that outweighs what Trey is going to bring in experience, first of all, and – defense.
I understand that. Bruce is all about defense. That's why in my opinion, I think that he goes with a defensive setup in the beginning to see what it looks like and kind of feel his way around. To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind seeing Aiden play the two. Let him not have to have the ball in his hands. Let him to be a spot up for a couple games. Let Trey run the one and Aiden run the two. Heck, let KD run the one and Aiden run the two.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I'd rather have Denver run the one.
And we haven't talked about Denver. You're right. And Denver could run the one.
But yeah, no, I do like that though. Having Trey and KD or Trey and Aiden, excuse me, out there at the same time, that provides like that. If you're not going transition 24/7, then there's a problem with those two on the court at the same time, because both of those guys are very, very good ball handlers, very, very fast, and very, very good passers. If you put those two guys out there at the same time, you get. So you got Chris Moore out there, Chaney Johnson, and Dylan Cardwell. Are you kidding me? Run the floor. Run the floor. And we're going to talk about some of those transfers here right now. But to finish off about Aiden, this dude's a special talent. Auburn fans should be unbelievably excited for him. He's the second highest rated prospect to ever come here for a reason. He's behind Jabari Smith. He's ahead of Isaac Okoro, he's ahead of Sharif, he's ahead of Walker Kessler, he's ahead of all those guys for a reason. This guy is special, especially on the offensive end. I cannot wait to see what he's able to do as we start this season.
Yeah, he's that guy again. If I go back pre-Bruce, PB, if I go back pre-Bruce, and you told me we had a chance at a kid like Aiden Holloway or Jabari or any of these guys, I just said, you've lost your mind.
Yeah.
There's no way we get an Aiden Holloway.
You're right.
This kid's a Kansas, Duke, Carolina, Kentucky point guard.
Yeah.
And he chose Auburn, and he's excited about Auburn. From everything I've heard, he's fit in. He's trying to take over some leadership skills. So I'm really fired up about Aiden Holloway.
No kidding. Okay, so let's talk about some of the transfers. So Auburn added three transfers this past transfer portal window in basketball. So let's talk about it. Let's start off with a guy that we've been mentioning a lot in Denver Jones from Florida International. This is a dude that I've been – a kind of player that I've been wanting since Bryce Brown left Auburn's campus. As you haven't had that, especially at the two guard. Auburn's offensive production from the two guard last year, especially early in the year when it was Zepp and KD, it was bad. It was very, very bad. And I understand what those two brought offensively defensively. And KD got a lot better as the season went on, ended up averaging almost 9 points a game. But Denver is a guy who in the Conference USA, which is an unbelievable conference. You know, they had a team in the Final Four last year, Florida Atlantic. Yeah. But he's coming from Florida International. He averaged 20 points a game last year. He's a scorer. He's a guy who put 37 on in random nights. He put 34 in a game. He had 30 a different night. Like, he's a guy – he's not streaky either. Like, he was a 40-something percent three-point shooter. He is the guy that – if you plug into last year's team as a scorer, that team just instantly goes to one of the top teams, the SEC, up there competing with Alabama. And this team was competing with Alabama two times last year anyway. So, whatever. But this is a guy who he's instant offense. He's a 6'4 guard. He's not like a tiny guy. He's not going to get bullied. And he's a solid defender as well, real quick, can handle the ball well, and he can create space like I've never seen anybody. He creates space like Bryce Brown. Bryce Brown used to be so good at making his own shot, creating his own shot. Denver is that way too. He's a sharpshooter. He's a shot creator. And he's the guy that I can easily see averaging the most points on this team because of how good he is at that.
He's that guy that you're right. If you put him, just take him and put him on last year's team, we beat Houston, and no telling where we go after that, because he's a shooter. He's a scorer. he's the guy that if you need a bucket, he can go get a bucket. And you're right, make his own way and get a bucket.
Yeah.
The other thing he does really well is he's a really good free throw shooter. So late games, you can put it in his hands, and he can knock down free throws. The thing I think he's going to enjoy about being at Auburn is at Florida International, he was it. Yeah. Look, all five guys had their eyes on him, and he still was scoring 20 to 25 points a game. At Auburn, he didn't have to be 20-point a game scorer. Can he? Probably, because he's that good. So getting a guy that is going to go, okay, some of the weight's off my shoulders, I can just let the game come to me and make my shots and find my shots, it is a huge win. And, oh, by the way, if he didn't sign with Auburn, he would have signed with Alabama. So getting him here and keeping him from West Alabama is huge. It's a huge win. When we started looking at him, I went and watched the video of him playing at UAB. And I think he had 34. And literally, he was the only player on the court for FIU. None of the other guys looked like they deserved to be D1 athletes. This kid was everywhere. So I'm really excited about Denver Jones.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl made a comment right after Auburn had just added Denver Jones from the transfer portal and he had signed. He made a comment because he's from Newmarket, Alabama. He immediately said, I don't know how we missed him. I don't understand how this guy got to FIU. I don't understand how Alabama missed him, or UAB, or South Alabama, or North Alabama, or Troy. How did he get out of the state? Because he's a stud, and he produced at Florida International. I expect him to produce as either the starting or backup two guard. I think he could easily compete with KD. I actually think he should start over KD. KD's got 3 years in this conference, though, so that's a little different.
So I think people missed on him because some guys just bloom later. Some guys aren't that guy in high school. Maybe he played for a coach or in a system that didn't use him right, and he got down to Florida International and said, I'm going to use this as my opportunity to blow up. And he did. Yeah. And Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, everybody wanted him.
Yeah.
So, and we got him, and I'm really excited. He adds a lot, and I think he definitely starts over KD.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one. So now to the next transfer, talking about Chad Baker-Mazzara or CBM, or however you want to say his name, from the Dominican Republic, originally went to San Diego State, where he went like 40% from three as a 6'7" wing. He's a weird lefty shot, but he fills it up. He's a longer guard, really, really good defender. And then he went JUCO and shot 47% from three and just got better and better and scored more points and grew and put on a lot of muscle. He's now up to 180 pounds. Like, he was not 180 pounds when he was at San Diego State at all. Like, he's real thin, long kind of guy. But he is a guy that I think also adds like a complete different aspect to this team, especially for the guards and for Janai and Dylan. But he's a spot up shooter. He's a spot up shooter, and he's not a spot up shooter that's 6'1" that's going to get pushed out of the way. He's not a spot-up shooter that, we don't know if we can put him on the court because he's a liability on the defensive end. Absolutely not. He's not a liability on the defensive end. He's a good rebounder, too. Real, real long, just like I was saying. Good lefty shot, and he is a knockdown three-point shooter. That's exactly what this team needed. You put Denver and Baker-Mazzara on last year's team? I mean,
totally different.
I can't help but think that you're in the Final Four. But you're not even in that situation because you're a higher seed, because you would have beaten Alabama. You would have beaten Texas A&M. You would have beaten so many other teams down the line of that, especially that SEC season, because people wouldn't have compacted on Janai Broome and swarmed Wendell Green when they went in the paint because nobody trusted us to shoot. Now, you got to get out on Baker Mazzara, but you also have to stay connected to Denver Jones, but you don't want to just leave Aiden Holloway. But if y'all are staying on those people, you give Janai Broome a one-on-one. He's the best center in the SEC. This team is completely different because of those two guys and Aiden Holloway. Completely different offensively.
So CBM is what we're going to call him because that's easier. I think he went to two schools before he went to JUCO. I think he's been to three schools.
Okay.
Check me on that. He looks like, and don't hear me clearly, I'm not comparing him, but he looks like Kevin Durant. He looks like left-handed Kevin Durant because he's skinny. He's 6'7", and he's skinny. But it's like Kevin Durant said in the interview when he was getting ready to go to the NBA, they were like, don't you think you should add on some muscle? I mean, you need to be stronger. And he's like, the ball weighs like 2 pounds. Why do I need to be stronger? And that dude's been successful. Again, not saying CBM is KD. I'm saying he looks like a left-handed, a little shorter, but a left-handed KD because he's long and skinny. Like long arms. So you know, even if he can't move his feet great on the defensive end, his length will help out down there. And you're right. It's not a pretty shot. I'm a lefty. His is not a pretty shot, but I couldn't come near to hitting the type of percentages that he does.
He fills it up.
So you're right. You put him and Denver on a wing and maybe even KD on a wing and Aiden Holloway at the point and let Janai play in the post. You've got four guys that can shoot the ball surrounding Janai Broome. Yeah.
Jalen Williams was the best shooter last year.
Yeah. Add Jalen instead of KD. Yeah.
It completely changes the team. Completely changes the outlook of the offense. And I know Bruce Pearl really was harping on that all offseason of we need to go out and find shooters, not just to add to Aiden Holloway into the new guys into this team, but to help out Janai Broome. I mean, this poor guy was getting triple teamed because people were like, I dare you to pass that out to Trey Orr, shoot it. I dare you to pass that out to Zepp and him, shoot it. Please do that. Yeah. And he didn't because he didn't trust him. And this team is going to look completely different offensively. They really, really are. And the next guy that I want to go ahead and start talking about is completely different than those two, but adds a freak athlete and a guy with unbelievable untapped potential to be a star. I think Chaney Johnson, as they get the transfer from UAH coming from Division II, a lot of people are clowning this. A lot of national people were clowning this Auburn transfer portal class because they got a guy from JUCO and they got a guy from Division II and then they got a guy from Conference USA. We didn't get a guy from another Power Five school, but I think we got three studs. You know, we talked about how offensively the team's going to change because of Jones and Baker Mazzara. Dude, Chaney Johnson is going to change the team in general. He's a freak athlete. Real 6'7", 6'8 guy. I think he's going to play with Jalen Williams. From what I'm hearing, he's competing with the fifth-year senior in Jalen Williams for that starting four spot. He's a guy that is an unbelievable defender, can get to the bucket and score, had success against Auburn when UAH came for the scrimmage last year. I believe he had 13 or 14 points and 5 or 6 rebounds. Had success. He's played at the level. And dude's a freak athlete. Like this dude, you throw it near the rim, Chaney's going to go get it. He's a lot like Malik Dunbar. He's a bigger, more offensively refined Malik Dunbar. You know, we want to see him, you know, mold into this offensive score. You know, he's not there yet. Do you remember when Jalen Williams came in this first year? He was like, well, it was like, oh, this dude's going to be very, very good, but he's not there yet. He's not there yet. And then halfway through him sitting behind Jabari, or even
it was before that, the year before that,
it was like, okay, yeah, he's there. Chaney's going to be that guy, man. Chaney's going to be the guy who probably starts at the four next year when Jalen leaves, because he's going to mold into that when getting experience, getting playing time, which he's going to get, and molding into the, his body and his role in this team. I'm excited about Chaney Johnson.
So I'm excited about him too. A lot of people, when we got him, went, UAH, we're taking a transfer from Huntsville? What in the world are we doing that for? And again, it's like I said earlier when we were talking about Denver Jones, some of the guys, they bloom later. They just do. And this guy is, look, if he's competing, and Bruce has said it several times, he's competing for the start at the four. We have a sixth-year senior who's started at the four before, and this kid has come in here and is pushing Jalen. It does two things. Number one, it adds another player at the four, whether he starts or not. And number two, it makes Jalen even better.
Yep.
Because Jalen goes, I can't rest on my laurels and just go out there. I've got to compete to start on a team that I've been on forever. And yes, everything that I've heard about this kid is he literally jumps out of the gym. People are like, he's doing stuff in the air that I haven't seen in this building before. So I think Malik Dunbar is a good comparison. I think that's an apt comparison, except he's younger than Malik was. So he's got more time to, like you said, to refine him.
Yeah, absolutely. They really can kind of mold him into the scorer that they want him to be. And even if he starts over Jalen this year and somehow does that, that would be crazy. Just thinking about that, that would be crazy. I mean, that would be incredibly impressive. So what we're going to do is this one is we've kind of gone a little long on the personnel and talking about each of these players. What we'll do, we're going to give our lineup predictions real quick and a little bit reason why. And in the next episode, right before the season's going to start, we'll talk about the schedule, what Auburn's got coming up, any updates we hear from practice and lineups and that sort of thing, and then continue on from there. Is that sound pretty good with you?
I think that's a good idea. We've done almost 50 minutes.
Let's try and keep this one under an hour, so that way it's not too long for the season preview. But I'm going to go ahead and start. I think you're going to say Trey starts at point guard. I think Aiden starts at point guard. I think his offense just it's too good. I think if Trey were to start, I think Aiden starts after the Legends Classic. I think if Trey starts, it would be for the first few games, but I think Aiden's going to come in and show why he is that second highest rated player to ever come here. As of right now, as to how Pettiford will jump him when he comes. But I think Aiden starts and Trey backs him up, but I do think those minutes are 25, 15, maybe even closer to 20, depending on situational and that sort of thing.
Okay, so we're going to do one position at a time. I agree. Look, I think Trey starts because of his because he's been there. For no other reason. Bruce is getting ready to have a warm-up game where he's going to play with lineups the whole game. And whoever starts that game is not – that's not the starter. That's just what he wanted to play in that game. And then he's going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and playing Baylor.
Yep.
And I think that he – in my opinion, he starts Trey. But I agree. I think by the Legends Classic or maybe right after that, Aiden Holloway takes that starting role, and I think it's probably 25-15 from there on out.
Yeah, I can see it. So next, starting with the at the two and at the shooting guards, a position that Zepp's really kind of taken the past 2 years, and we haven't seen much offensive production from. I think that completely changes, and Denver Jones comes in and starts at the two. This dude averaged 20 points per game last year. You know, we just spent probably 10 minutes just on Denver Jones talking about him and what he's going to change this offense for. He's got to start. I think he starts. KD comes right behind him. I think that's closer to 20-20 minute-wise because you got to have KD out there. He's a senior. He's a guy that's been in this league for two different teams for, you know, 3 years now. He's a guy that started before. But I think Denver Jones' impact on the offensive end lets him start.
Denver Jones is your starting two. He was brought here to be the starting two. KD's come off the bench last year. KD can come off the bench again. Like you said, we're going from Zepp Jasper, who was not going to score. I love Zepp. I love watching Zepp, and Zepp is a true Auburn man, but he wasn't going to get you points. Denver Jones is going to provide points at the two, and we'll start. And I think he's probably closer to 25-15.
So for anybody that's listening that doesn't understand what we're saying with those numbers, there's 40 minutes of a basketball game. So we're trying to decipher that Denver Jones is a starter. So he's going to get 25 minutes, and KD get the backup. He's going to get the other 15 minutes that Denver's not out there. That's what we're doing. And talking about some different lineup things, that sort of stuff. So for anybody that does not understand those numbers, just want to preface that before we go any farther.
Good. Thank you.
We're talking about the three in that kind of wing spot. You know, we saw Alan Flanagan kind of hold that last year. This one's an interesting one because you brought in a JUCO transfer and Chad Baker Mazzara to come in and be that spot up shooter at that position and also be able to guard that position, which is a very hard position to guard. You talk about some of the talent that's not only in the SEC, but also in some of the teams that you're going to play in the non-conference schedule at that position that Baker Mazzara, Chris Moore, Lior Berman are going to need to guard. I think Chad Baker Mazzara ends up being the starter. I think his offensive game is going to be so impactful for a guy like Jani Broom and Aiden Holloway to have a spot-up shooter, whether he's in the corner or on the wing or wherever. But I think Chris Moore and Lior Berman are going to play a lot, both of them, because they are seniors, because they've been on this team and this system since they were freshmen. And they're more experienced than Baker Mazzara is. And Chris Moore provides a lot. He provides that very, very good defender, unbelievable athlete, one of the leaders on this team, if not the leader on this team. And so he's got to play. And Lior Berman provides, you know, he's a very good defender. He's no wash. Teams think he's a wash, and then they try and go after him, and it doesn't work. And it's kind of funny to watch them do that because you know they're just trying to pick on Lior Berman. Lior's like, come on, bring it. And Lior's a very good defender, but an unbelievable spot-up shooter as well, like Baker Mazzara. But I do think Chad Baker Mazzara starts. I think that is more of a I would say like 16-17 and then split between Moore and Berman, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. So I'm going to go different than you here. Again, I'm going with – you said it. Chris Moore's the leader of this team. Up until the Ole Miss game last year where he hurt his shoulder, he was playing as well as anybody on the team. He's a great defender. I'm starting Chris Moore until CBM takes the job. And I think CBM will take the job. Maybe it's right before SEC play that he takes it. Maybe it takes a little bit longer. But until Chris Moore hurt his shoulder last year, I was very impressed with what he was doing. And then once he came back after his shoulder, he didn't seem like he trusted it. Hopefully that's gotten better and he can do it. So I think you're probably right on the numbers wise as far as minutes goes. Lior is going to play. He's going to play at least in the non-conference significantly because he's a shooter. And last year they were searching for shooters. I think they found some, I think, this year. So maybe they won't depend as much on Lior, but I think Bruce Pearl loves Lior Berman and loves what he brings to the table and loves his energy and his willingness to do whatever it takes to win.
So now talking about the four spot, the power forward spot, and what I think both of us are shocked, but in what Bruce Pearl's words are, a huge competition between Jalen Williams and Chaney Johnson. Chaney Johnson must be playing unbelievably well in practice to get Bruce to make that a competition. I think every position is a competition, especially this early in practice. Practice started on September 26th. You know, we're recording this, 2 weeks after that? So, and we've heard from Bruce twice, and he said both times, yeah, they're in a tough competition right now. They're battling out and competing very, very well. Apparently, Chaney had a really, really good summer and good summer workouts. And then Jalen has been one of the best players on the team so far through in these fall camp practices. And that's crazy. I think that's crazy. And I think it's a good thing that that's a competition, just like we were mentioning earlier when we were talking about Jalen and Chaney. But I do think Jalen starts and starts for the entire year. I think Chaney is Jalen as a freshman. When Jalen came in, they knew what he could do. They saw what he could do. We saw the athleticism. I mean, everybody remembers when he threw the ball off the backboard and crammed it against Tennessee in his second game in. And it was like, okay, well, we see what that guy can do. Let's just mold him in, have another offseason with him, let him play a lot this year, but don't throw things on him. Don't put pressure on Chaney Johnson to score and to, you know, do all these sort of things, shoot and that sort of stuff. Rely on Jalen for that, but mold Chaney into the player that we want him to be. I think that's what they do the entire year, but I think Jalen ends up starting. I think that minutes are more 30-10.
So I would agree Jalen's a starter. Yeah. I think Bruce has been blowing some smoke. I think Chaney Johnson's going to be a good player. I'm like you. I think he's going to be a good player. I think it's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
I think he's got all the athleticism in the world and can do a lot of the things that they want him to do. But Jalen Williams is a starter. And I think it's probably 25 to maybe 6 or 8 minutes for Chaney Johnson. And then I think you can move CBM and Chris Moore into that four slot and get some more minutes out of him.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't really think about that. I didn't really take that into account. But you absolutely could, especially with Chris Moore having experience at that position in high school, center spot, and what he's able to do rebounding the ball and his athleticism, and with Baker Mazzara being 6'7", and able to be that size as well. So and also to space the floor. I mean, you put CBM and Lior Berman out there at the same time. You've got Denver and Aiden. I mean, that's four wide. Who's guarding Jani Broome? Again, we talked about it earlier. That's a one-on-one. That's 2 points, maybe even three. I just don't see – I don't know of a center. And we'll talk about this when we talk about the SEC schedule in the next episode and that sort of thing. I don't know of a center or a big man in the country besides maybe Zach Edey and maybe Armando Bacot that are more effective and more important to a team than Jani Broome is going to be to Auburn this year.
Yeah, so – can we just agree on the center position? Dylan Carwell's not going to start.
Dylan Carwell will come off the bench. I do believe they are going to put Dylan Carwell in situations to be that energy guy, just like he's been the last 3 years. I mean, Dylan Carwell's going to play. He's going to block shots. He's going to get rebounds. They're going to throw alley-oops to him, especially with Aiden having that thing on a rope. And it's going to be impressive. Like, Dylan's going to play 7 to 10 minutes a game.
Yep.
But Jani Broome is a guy who, I mean, not just myself and you and Auburn fans, but national media are putting him in the player of the year conversation. Yeah. Maybe even, you know, at Bill Walton award winner, the best center in the country. He is that type of player. Offensively, defensively, very well-rounded. He's improved that three-point shot, that free throw. He's improved his little face-up game as well. We saw him shoot a lot on back to the basket, but he's that little face-up, even at like the free throw line or elbow. Mm-hmm. We saw that in the G League and in the NBA Combine. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And he's like blowing by people who are now playing in the NBA and in NBA rotations. So I think as excited as we are about the guards and Aiden and Denver and Jalen coming back and how huge that is, we need to understand what we have at the center position. We haven't seen a center like Jahni Broome at Auburn in a very, very long time. You know, you could say Walker Kessler. Walker Kessler is a completely different player than Jahni Broome is. Walker Kessler won National Defensive Player of the Year. Jahni may win the center of the year because he's going to put 20 and 11 up per game. And Walker wasn't going to do that, especially when you had Jabari Smith. But in that situational, Walker's going to be a better NBA player and that sort of stuff because that's the way the NBA is going. But now I'm just kind of ranting and moving on. Jahni Broome has a chance to be the SEC Player of the Year. I honestly, he's in my top three with that. I don't know if I have him at one, two, or three, but Tolu Smith and maybe Wade Taylor at Texas A&M are in the others. But
how is Tolu Smith still there?
Well, how is Jalen Williams still at Auburn? That's what people are going to say when Jalen Williams walks out there. How is number two still there? No way he's still there because people saw him when Isaac was on the team, and they saw him when Sharif was on the team. They saw him when Samir Dowdy was on the team. They saw him. So that's exactly what people are going to say. And there's going to be more people like that. I guarantee Auburn fans, when you see Wade Taylor come out for Texas A&M, you're going to be like, hug, why is he still there?
That whole team's still there, by the way.
When you see some guys come out for Tennessee, like Santiago is coming back. It's going to happen because these guys are making impacts so early in their careers and they're staying because they're good
college players.
People are going to feel that way about Jahni Broome too. Like, why didn't that guy go pro? He's got 25 and 11 on us right now, and we're halfway through the second half. Why isn't that guy in the NBA? It's because he's Jahni Broome. But that'll go ahead and wrap us up here. Very excited to be getting closer and closer to basketball season. Obviously, still hooked on football right now, but can't wait to be hooked on basketball very, very soon. Again, talking about the schedule for us, we will have another episode coming out in the coming weeks. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule, especially the early schedule and then the SEC schedule, talking about what's going on going forward for Auburn. And then we'll try and have a podcast after every single game, reviewing that game and previewing the next game and see what's going on in Auburn basketball. And then we'll just keep y'all updated. If you want to keep updated and you want to know when that episode is going to be coming back or coming out, you just follow us on Twitter at Gray Oldenburg, or you can follow Chris at War Eagle Hoops. Thank y'all for listening. Have a great night.
War Eagle.